Hey folks, it's Sunday, the 17th of September, and you are listening to episode 60-something, I think it's 63, of AIH Superfans. I am one of your superfan pals, still the most hated Jets fan on Twitter, regardless of how hard Ryan tries. I am Slip with Five Eyes, or Slip.
And I'm Roddy Bats, Big Poppy Peg City.
And I'm Chris, C-Mac Live.
This is episode 64, so way to stay on it, Alan. So it's been 2 weeks since we last recorded, and at least for me personally, the biggest piece of news was that 2 weeks ago I kind of stuck my neck out and proclaimed that the Jets would finish in the playoffs, and I think I said fourth in the Central Division because they would address the coaching situation if needed, and then they addressed the coaching situation, but not exactly the way that I wanted. What do you guys think?
But exactly the way that it was going to play out anyways, I think.
So they signed a couple of weeks ago. They did the Chevy signing over the summer. And then I'm not exactly sure when the Maurice signing took place because there's still, clouds of secrecy all over this organization. But definitely there were extensions for general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff and head coach Paul Maurice, and the length and amount of these contracts has not been disclosed, but both of them had 1 year left on their current deals, and both have been extended. What are your thoughts, boys?
Well, to me, it says that True North really doesn't give a shit about winning. Because if they were results-oriented, and if they wanted to hold either of these guys accountable, they would have held off till the end of this season. I don't know why you give these guys a vote of confidence for miserably failing almost every single season of existence, but that's basically what they did. They basically said out loud, and you know what? They basically told the world that they are happy with everything that's gone on since year one, and here's a congratulatory extension. Like, means they're on board with everything that they've done. So what does that say? I don't know.
Great. I think we all, for the most part, skeptical, fans, I think we're all
trolls. We're called trolls.
The dark side.
I think even the middle ground people, I think maybe we're okay with the Chevy thing, right? We're like, okay, I mean, he hasn't done a bad job. I mean, we had the discussion last week about, well, he is also the guy that hires the coach and they're failing and this and that. But overall, you're not like scratching your head about Chevy's contract. But the Maurice thing and the timing of it is just baffling. You have this rise together and this is it, it's time to go, and now you've handcuffed yourself. And I know a lot of mainstream people and fans are like, well, it's just money, it's just a contract, but this team is notorious for not wanting to spend money. So if you've re-signed them for that money, you're committed to paying Maurice that money whether you fire him after 10 games or not.
Absolutely.
So now you've painted yourself in a corner because you're not just going to fire the guy after 20 games if they're 6-13.
Well, the thing is,
year,
if they've doubted him at all, they don't sign him to an extension right now. Sign exactly. Chevy, great. Why do they have to be a package deal together? Like, it totally means that they have no problem with anything that Pomo has done since he's been here,
like, or before. I mean,
well. They're fine with the brutal special teams. They're fine with the lack of discipline. They're fine with who and where he's deployed any of the youth or any of the current roster players. They're fine top to bottom with everything that he's done. Not only are they fine with him, they're rewarding him for what he's done. That's a reward. And a contract extension before expiration is a reward for performance. Well, what guidelines are they judging his performance on? It sure as hell isn't success in the standings, right? Like, is he rewarding him? Are they rewarding him for how he's developed the youth?
You're right. They keep saying, no, I'm trying to add to your point. They keep saying that, but hey, I could develop Line A, Ehlers, and Trouba.
Absolutely.
The youth that needed to be developed hasn't been developed. And that's a real problem. And so why do the mainstream media and the general manager keep saying, he's so good with young players? He's so good with superstar young players.
Who wouldn't be good with those
players? Exactly. The top 10 picks, of course you're good with them. How come you're not good with Dano? How come you're not good with Patan? How come you're not good with Armia?
I'd argue that he misused Liney anyways, though.
Sure.
Like
it's frustrating
score,
that's
the best goal scorer this team has ever seen, and he can't even make the first unit power play. Like, whatever, like.
No, and that's the whole thing, is they keep using these generic terms for what he's good at and all this stuff, and it's like, well, let's take a look, and I don't think that there's not any good at that.
Yeah.
And what were the stats that we saw last week? Five playoffs in 19 seasons, and he's never won more than 40 games.
Well, that is a better record than the franchise has.
It was great bar to trip over, right? Anyways, but 9 losses away from being the losingest coach ever.
So, guys, do I have to be the sunshine and rainbows guy on the show?
Fuck off, Alan.
Don't you always?
You're the most hated fan on Twitter. How can you be sunshine?
So the Chevy contract. You know, I wouldn't sign Chevy, obviously, but I understand why this organization would sign Chevy. You know, they love the guy. He has stocked the cupboards. Like, he hasn't, I don't think that he's built a winner, but he's certainly, they had a massive deficit in terms of talent on this team, and they have done a good job at assembling talent. There's no doubt about that. Maurice, to me, the signing is baffling in terms of what he has delivered and his results. I agree. So the question would be, I guess, you know, why would they do it? Now, did they do it because they just love him? They think that he is the perfect guy? Or is it partially because it's not terribly common to go into the last year of a contract with your coach without something longer term? Is it because they've looked at it and said he's the best that we have? Is it that they've looked at it and said, like, we don't know how long that contract is. You know, I would assume it's not a year. It's, you know, typically I think it's coaches wouldn't sign for less than 3, I would imagine. But do they look at it and go, you know what? If it doesn't work out early on in the season, we'll fucking eat that money. I don't know, right? Like, we haven't, we don't know what the plan is, right?
Oh, they would not eat any type of money.
Well, they're eating Stewart money, right?
1 year.
Well, they're eating year. 2 years. 2 years. It's 1 year contract. They've got 2 years that they've got to eat in terms of salary cap. But yes, actual dollars, it's you know, $2 million. And they, yeah. So that's something. It's
they extended.
They put Pavlik in the moose last year.
Right, but they extended Maurice, so at bare minimum, 2 years after this contract year. So you can see this organization eating Paul Maurice's contract for 3 years, where they held on to Claude Nogal for as long as they could before they got rid of him.
Well, Claude Nogal was probably making 25% what Maurice is, or some crap too. He probably wasn't making any money.
But this is a commitment to the whole coaching staff. They haven't gotten rid of anybody in the coaching staff prior to this season. That means that everything is hunky dory for this organization. Like, who are you going to get rid of mid-season now? He doesn't have he doesn't have that hanging over his head right now. His job isn't in jeopardy. He's going to do whatever the fuck he wants to do, and if it's going to be whatever he's done the last 3 years, then it's going to be that. Like, there is nothing new. What's new?
Well,
there isn't going to be anything new as far as a system or
That's not what the team is expecting, though, right? Like, you have to remember that.
How are they expecting it, though?
Well, you have to remember going into last season, again, they pretty much threw in the towel before the season began, right? Rebuild, young players, getting younger, seeing what we have, expect to step back.
You're saying because now publicly everybody's saying that enough is enough. This is the time to rise up, rise together.
Well, I'm saying, you need to stop promoting that fucking shitty hashtag. I'm saying that last year, the expectations, you know, Maurice, in terms of how the team performed, could you argue that he was below their expectations if their expectations were rebuild, getting younger?
No, so now their expectation is clear that they need to compete now, right?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Apparently.
Okay, so in the off season and leading into, well, I guess, tonight's game, right? They're playing their first game tonight?
Tomorrow.
So I don't know. So what are the signs that this organization really wants to win now?
Well,
the guys are 6 months older than they were last year.
Yeah, they signed Hendricks. Is that it? Like, listen to the language and what Maurice is saying about him, right? Do we really think Hendricks is going to be a fringe player that may be sent down or that isn't going to be on the roster? Like, I don't know.
Well, like, you can argue that they have new goaltending, right? Like, that's a thing. I'm not saying that Steve Mason is the answer necessarily, but they've certainly said, well, we're going to do something vastly different with our goaltending this year. So that's a thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And whatever, yeah, and also we have to remember, for whatever mind-blowing reason it was, the last 13 games of the season, they decided to change their penalty killing, and all of a sudden it was good. Not sure why it took 65 games, but they did, and they finally changed a system. Isn't that for me, that's a really big problem with Maurice, is the arrogance of him, right? Is this is the way we do things, and all coaches are like that. The problem being, like anything, if your system and your track record proves it doesn't work, you got to stop doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my frustration with him as a coach is. It's like, you're doing the same things, perhaps. I didn't watch him 15 years ago in Carolina, but my assumption is you're doing the same things you did back then. And it's like, because I'm the coach, this is what we're doing, and we're not going to change anything. Again, why did it take them so long to change the PK last year? Why did it take them until Brian Little was back that they could do anything on the power play? Like, and you still couldn't figure out a way to get Line A the puck on the power play. Because you had to have five right-handed players? Like, that's not a thing. Is there five right-handed players on Ovechkin's line?
Left-handed.
You know, like, so I think he's just stuck in his ways, and that's a downfall. And the proof, as I think we're all concerned about, is in what's going to happen in this third, fourth line. Stuff that's going to happen here with, you're going to sacrifice your whole lineup based on putting Adam Lowry with the wrong players,
right,
and in the wrong amount of minutes. And those are where the worries come from as the fans. That Brian Little contract, I know we're going to get into it, but that Brian Little contract's fine if you have confidence that the coach is not going to ruin everything else by where Brian Little is or whatever, right? You know what I mean? The downfall and where the pieces fall are where the concern is. It's not over Brian Little being here for 5 years or seven. It's just how he uses things, and that's where you get concerned. And the same thing, what the heck do you need specialty penalty killers for in this day and age? You need Tanev and Hendricks on the ice? How about a system where Lowry and Armia are your first guys, and Perreault and Little are your second guys? You don't need Tanev. You don't need Hendricks.
No.
Put them in you have the talent to do it. And this is the old school thing. We were used to have specific penalty killers. We didn't have time for that now. I don't know. That's where my problem is with him. It's the old school and the we're not changing. This is the way I do it.
Do you think that he keeps Patrick Laine, Maurice, that is, keeps Patrick Laine on the same, like, leash this year? Or do you think that he lets this guy go in his second season? Kind of like, you know, Ehlers, you know, was kind of unleashed a little bit last year. So maybe they go for it with Laine. Maybe this is all methodical.
You have to think that that this team and this franchise does everything that way, right? And on one hand, they talk about draft and develop, and they talk about, you know, we take our time and we don't run a rush, guys, even though, like we were talking about earlier, their best guys were all top round picks, and none of them played for the Moose. Scheifele played that little bit. Lowry played a little bit. So any of the developing they've even done with the elite guys wasn't done in-house. It's all been with the Jets. So you could be right. They could have, as even Marie said last year, they could have been sheltering Laine a little bit last year. I don't know how you shelter a guy on the power play, but yeah, you could be right there.
Brian, are you there?
Finally, yeah.
Wow. I mean, 11:30 on a Sunday.
Yeah, had to reinstall Skype and fun stuff.
All right, well, good for you. Are you happy with the Maurice and Chevy signings? I've already spoken for you, and I said that you love them. I told them the DM that you sent me that you said best signings ever.
Yes. Chevy should have gotten a 73-year extension, and Maurice 150. He should be coaching after he dies. And they should have him in, like, a see-through casket so he can still coach. That's how good he is.
All right. Well, thanks for the commentary. All right. So, Chris, you made reference to another big signing that happened this past week. And I've seen a whole lot of different reactions from it. And so Brian Little is extended, I believe it's 6 years on the extension. It averages out to just under $5.3 million a season. So this year, at 29, he is earning $4.7 million on the last year of his contract. He was set to become an unrestricted free agent, and the Jets extended him for 6 years starting next season. So that contract will run until he is into his mid-30s, and by that I mean like 35, 36 years old. I believe it has a no movement clause or no trade clause on it because his current contract does. So I would imagine he didn't downgrade from that. And reaction has kind of been all over the board and I think strong on both sides. So who wants to start on this one?
I can, I guess.
Shocking.
Okay, the deal is growing on me a little bit. Now, there was something with that NMC, and when it changes to a different type of thing, and it coincides with Roslovic going off his ELC. Is that true? Like Rick
yes.
Ralph?
Yeah. I saw that same thing.
Right. So that's intriguing to me, right? My initial concern was this team and this organization tends to make changes due to expiration, if you understand what I'm saying. So the progression of the middle would be impeded because he'd be, you know, having to play second or third line center for the foreseeable future, right? The only reason they've demoted anybody or gotten rid of anybody who is part of that original core is through expiration, really, other than Andrew Ladd they traded pretty much because he was expiring anyways, right? So my whole concern over it is the impeding of youthful progression, right? But Brian Little, if I look at it in the same vein that Dustin Byfuglien was signed, Dustin Byfuglien, that was the best option for the Jets at that point in time, and there is no other Dustin Byfuglien. And Brian Little is a top two center for the next couple years anyways, right? So I don't know. It's growing on me. I love Brian Little. He's kind of like the most underrated Jet we've had. He's been one of the most consistent performers we've had. But I still, you know, 6 years is an awful long term for me. I've softened my stance since the initial signing.
Should I be the Sunshine and Rainbows guy again? Is this what my role is?
Go ahead. You've been the Sunshine and Rainbows thing on this deal for since it was signed. So.
It's a great deal. I don't, you know, it's not perfect, but I think you look at it this way. The team thinks that they're going to be a contender this year, right? And you can't go into that situation with a guy who you don't have locked in at this point, because you're going to get to the trade deadline. And if you have to negotiate the deal at that point in time, you've got his unrestricted free agency looming over you. And if you don't lock it down, he will get that deal and probably better than that deal somewhere else. Like, someone's going to offer him 6 years and probably add or a little more than that money, assuming that, you know, his performance this season is on par with previous. I mean, we bitched and moaned about them letting Frolik walk, and they
were, that's a different scenario. That's a different scenario.
Well, they had
he's much younger.
Five years
younger.
He wasn't 24 when he walked.
Brian Little's 30.
Yeah, well, yeah, was, but Michael Frolik wasn't.
How old was Michael Frolik? He wasn't 27, 28.
I think he was 26.
He was like 26.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's a heck of a lot younger than Brian Little now.
I mean,
That's a whole contract younger.
My whole problem is we're paying him 6 years for really optimistically 3 seasons.
Well,
of a already declining Brian Little, right?
Declining.
What are the odds? What are the odds?
So what, he's been what, a point per game? He's gone from the high point sevens to the low point sevens in the last right. 3 years. I mean,
and
you
what,
could.
What do we know about NHL forwards, though? What do we know about them?
What do we know about them?
When do they decline?
Well, in their 30s, early, usually.
Yeah, so maximum we're getting 3 years out of the guy.
Maybe. I mean, we can. Is he going to be a garbage player 3 years from now? No. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Is he? You know, because
when do these young guys?
So what's your push? What's
we're gonna
your?
We're going to lose a young guy that we haven't given a chance to yet. Is basically what it's gonna what the end result is going to be.
Well, yeah, but. Brian Little's not the problem in terms of young players on this team losing a spot, right? It's guys like Hendricks and Tanev that are the problems. Like, Brian Little isn't going to be, you know, I don't think we're going to be sitting here 3 or 4 years from now going, holy shit, I wish that name player, young player is in there, but fucking Brian Little's in his way. Yeah. Is he really going to be that guy?
It might be hard to swallow that contract in 3 years going, this is a guy playing third line right wing making $5 million a year. And that might be a big issue. And that's despite the no movement clause kicking in or not kicking in or whatever at that point, how are you going to trade a guy? It's kind of like the Toby Enstrom thing. A lot of teams would want Toby Enstrom with that contract, would be okay with it. Except the teams that need a Toby Enstrom are teams that are going to go to try and make a push, right, to win a Stanley Cup, and they can't fit in that $5 million. And it's right. going to be the same thing with a Brian Little. It's like, yeah, I'd love to trade for Brian Little at the trade deadline in 3 years from now.
5.3. You know,
but I can't. We can't. And that's where that concern where, to me, the no movement or the no trade clause being lifted or whatever the scenario exactly is kind of irrelevant, because in three, four years, he's not going to be worth what he's making.
So what do you do?
That being said, like I said to Brian, I think it was, if they do something in the next 2 years with him under this contract, then I think you get a pass on what happens after. If they make a conference final or they make a cup final, then you go, okay, then it was worth it. It's sort of like the Byfuglien signing. When you're going to go to win a Stanley Cup, would you not want to trade for Dustin Byfuglien when you're going to make your final push at 33 years old, right? So we signed him 2 years earlier rather than trying to trade for him 2 years later or 3 years later, right? And maybe that's a decent way to look at the Brian Little thing, but that's got to happen. They have to win with that contract.
They have to make a run within the first, well, this year or next year, I think, for it to make sense. That's why I said I compared it to like the Dustin Byfuglien signing.
Like, yeah, it's the same thing, right? Because in 2 years from when, or 3 years from when they signed Byfuglien, again, to try and say it better, at the trade deadline, you would love to add a 1B tough puck-moving defenseman. Every team would want to do that. The Jets did that 3 years ago when they re-signed him. And just are like, well, we'll play with him forever until we need him, right? Rather than trying to acquire him at a later time. And maybe that's what they're doing with Little.
But the dollar value makes them less tradable at that point.
So, for sure. But again, you're going into a negotiation with the guy now. What is the offer to keep this guy? Because again, losing him for nothing isn't an option, right? Like, that's not an acceptable option, is it?
But they didn't go down that road.
But I'm just saying, like, you're sitting there in the general manager's shoes, and you've got this center. He's been your first line center for a long time. He's a solid second line center. And he's going to be gone for nothing at the end of this year, and you think that you need him on your roster to make a run this season. What do you do? What's your negotiation with him?
Okay. So negotiations don't exist in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what's the plan with Wheeler then?
But
what's the plan with Wheeler? You're an organization, and you're building your organization, right? So what's the plan with Wheeler when he expires?
I don't know. But Wake Wheeler doesn't have a contract that you have to worry about until next year. You've got Brian Little that you got to worry about now. So you know that you've got to deal with Wheeler. So knowing what you got to do to deal with Wheeler, what do you do with Brian Little? This stuff isn't easy. So what do you do?
What do you do when you're the Jets and you're loaded with top and young talent?
Do you let Brian Little walk for nothing?
But how are you going to let him walk for nothing if you're intelligently looking at this as a GM of a National Hockey League team?
So what kind of contract would you say? Do you think that he should have been offered shorter term?
Well, maybe you got to look at what you're going to get for him in assets in the way of a trade back. Maybe you look for a willing trade partner who's looking for a
centerman. You think another team out there is going to say, hey, I'm going to take this guy who's going to be a UFA at the end of the season, and I'm going to have to worry about putting the contract on him, and I'm going to give up assets for that? Why would another GM do that?
Because they're close.
Because
they're close.
And they think that Brian Little is going to put them over the top right now.
Well, I don't know. But that's exactly it. The Jets think that Brian Little is going to put them over the top right now.
And they could be right. That doesn't mean they're wrong, but they think that. So
if the Jets think that, it's reasonable to think that another GM would think that. No?
No, I don't think so. I don't think another GM makes that trade now. Maybe at the deadline, you know, if the
it kind of goes against what we've been saying for the last 3 years about our expiring assets and our expiring top end assets, right?
I just don't think
it kind of goes against what we were preaching, like when Byfuglien and Ladd were both expiring.
Again, though, like if I'm another, like, you know, the advantage that Chevy has with Brian Little now, though, and why he's a better asset to Chevy is because, like, this. You know, he's got this relationship with the guy for years, and the organization has, you know, he knows where he fits in, and, you know, everything kind of, you've got the hometown advantage to a certain extent in terms of this contract negotiation now, right?
Right.
A 29-year-old second-line center who, yeah, when he's 35, he's not going to be the same guy, but he's not going to be a garbage player for the next 3 years.
So you're saying that they've given him three, whatever the actual is, 2-3 extra years to lock him down now. And I think that's sort of what I'm saying about they have to be successful with it to make it worthwhile, right? If they're 500 and miss the playoffs two of the next 3 years, then that's going to be a real problem. But again, if they make a push, again, you're probably willing to eat that last 3 years of him not being the same guy, because look what happened.
Because we've been a contender. Because we've been the contender for the first three years.
I think that this is them betting on their team this year. I think that that's what this contract is. You know, they're betting on the team as much as they're betting on the player.
So you gave them a year and a half extra contract. I know they don't give half years, but you know what I'm saying. They gave a year and a half extra contract to him to make sure that they have him for the next 3 years.
I think so.
Because they're all in, right? They're all in at this point.
I think so, again. And you're right. There are certainly things that you have to deal with down the road in terms of other players. But at the same time, what team doesn't have this problem? Like, good teams, and unfortunately we're not a good team yet in terms of results, but this is a problem that good teams have, is balancing out contracts with talented players.
Okay, yeah.
That's such a loaded statement when you're talking about the Jets.
Yeah, because they haven't done it. Now, again, if they end up paying all this money and the team doesn't put it together, then it's a failed gamble, right?
They're putting all this money into Brian Little, and they've committed to a brain trust that really hasn't done shit either, right? So they're all in, to me, is kind of flawed from the beginning, but whatever. Like,
yeah,
honestly, they're all in, but they've never been to the dance, and they've got two guys that really have no idea to dance running the team.
Like, they're not dance dads.
No, they're not. we're a rare breed, dance dance. But anyway.
All right. So here's another question that I'll ask you. For your two kind of top centers, would you rather be paying for Scheifele and Little? Would you rather be paying $11.5 million, or would you rather be paying $21 million for like a Taves and Kane combo?
I'd rather. You know, that's so loaded too. We don't know what our young skilled guys can do yet.
Well, we know what you don't know. What Liney and Ehlers can do.
No, I'm talking about down the middle.
What, Kopp?
The talent. No,
you must be talking about Kopp.
That's exactly.
Nobody's talking about Andrew Kopp.
that's the youthful center that people have been. Anyways, but we don't know.
Uh huh.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know. We could have taken this year. I don't know. You could push one of the younger guys to see if they have it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all lost. People do get extended in the middle of the year too, right?
Yeah.
People do get extended at the trade deadline too, right?
Yes, of course. Buffalo did, right? Like their biggest contract.
But our GM is a mouse among men when it comes to shit like that, right? Is that what you're saying? So, well, I'm just saying, this wasn't the only option at this point in time.
No, I mean, I agree with that. He could have gone with other options, but I think again, they're sitting there going, we want to lock this guy in, and we know we can't lock him in for any less than, you know, did it have to be six? Could it have been five? I don't think that he's signing for any fewer than, I don't think he's signing for three or fewer years, even if you give him more money. Right?
Quick quiz, like at last year, it was Brian Little getting signed to an extension a priority for you at the end of last season? You, looking at this team.
Well, yeah, because what are you going to do with him after this year?
I don't know.
You going to let him walk?
No, but he's an asset. Like, he's a top two center now. He's an asset that might bring, you know, who knows what he could have brought back in assets to a youthful team.
But now he can still do that, right?
If he's a solid performer on a stinky team, you're gonna trade him with a 6-year contract. That's what you're gonna trade him with.
You don't think Vegas would take this guy?
Who are you gonna pull from Vegas that they're willing to trade right now?
I'm just saying, if you needed to dump the contract, if you thought the contract was a liability,
throwing Vegas out there to throw Vegas out there is kind of disingenuous, because they're not doing anything remotely close to signing or wanting to have Brian Little in the fold. They're clearly building a young team and building for the future without a regard for what's happening right now, right?
I guess so. I mean, I think we've seen over time. $5 million players with who we would consider to be less of an asset than Brian Little be moved.
Sure. I'll give you that.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not. You just need to find one. Like, you know, Chevy. You know, Chevy doesn't have to be the best GM. He just needs to find like a GM dumber than he is. And I mean, you know, I don't want to stand. I'm not going to stand up for Chevy all the time, but there are a few out there.
Part of my angst too is the fact that, you know, I know that he's going to be second line center with Adam Lowry firmly planted as a third line center too, right?
Well, one of the questions that you could raise again in terms of youth is, you know, something like, I mean, Nick Petan, who's a center, again, it's another step back, I guess. And Roslovic is another one, right? He's a center.
Well, and that's what I've said before and on the show here too, is that was your first draft and develop that looked to be perfect. That's your motto. We draft and develop that looked to be perfect. We're going to just, Brian Little's going to ride off into the sunset. We're going to trade him for a couple nice assets. And Jack Roslovic on his ECL is just going to pull right in behind him. And we finally done our first ever draft and develop a replacement player.
But we
it's not going
to. We're not going to do it. We didn't do it.
They're not going to do it. And so maybe a lot of that contract, the money and all those things, comes in the fact that if you're going to be paying, if Line A scores 40 goals this year, what's he going to be making? If Ehlers scores 30, what's he going to be making?
Huge, huge.
Trouba should be getting the Brinks truck. So you need those guys on those ECLs. And what's the drop-off again? We're spitballing a lot both ways. We're spitballing about Little falling off, and we're spitballing about how good Roslovic is or isn't or is going to be. But for a team that likes to take chances as far as their youth goes, so you're looking at potentially only 1 year of needing Brian Little this year. I don't know. It just seems like it's long. It seems like it's a little expensive, but I agree with what you're saying, Alan, that if that's because of what's happening right now, then that's the price you got to pay to play.
Well, I'm looking, and let's look at the salary situation really quickly. The Jets this year, right now, still have $7 million of cap space. So with all the guys, and everyone signed for this year, they've got a full roster signed, and there's $7 million sitting there. It's a lot of fucking money. Like,
well, at the fan forum, they asked about that on Friday. They believe they have $4 million in performance bonuses. So they only believe they have $3 million in cap space.
All right. So let's say it's three then. So you've got a Matthias contract coming off the books at the end of the year at $2 million.
So that's five.
And you've got Toby Enstrom, which is another six. Right. So that's 11. And so now you've got to look at, you know, it really comes down to three signings. Like, I know there's more than that. Well, I guess four. You've got Hellebuck there too, right? Like, yeah, the so more 11, the Morrissey signing gets... like the Morrissey signing, I don't think is going to be, I don't think that's going to be a massive contract. Like Jacob Trouba got three, and Morrissey's not Jacob Trouba.
Yeah, and Jacob Trouba, if you're keeping him, is a huge chunk of $11 million.
Yeah, Jacob Trouba is probably going to take up half of that. Would be about
$3 to $5 million.
He's going to take half of that, and then you've got the other. You know, you got the other portion for Ehlers.
Ehlers is going to take the other half.
Yeah, and then what?
He's going to sign a contract that's at least $5 million a year, right? 5.5.
Probably.
Right. So then, Morrissey and Hellebuck, like it gives you a really big cap crunch. Right, instead of having an extra $4.7 million when you traded away your Brian Little minus whatever assets you got back that were hopefully young.
I mean, the contract that really strikes me as being bad on this list is the Kulikov contract.
Kulikov and Mason,
huge.
Yeah, like $4.3 million. So that dude is worth not even $1 million less than fucking Brian Little. Like this year, are you kidding me? Yeah, that one feels like it's going to be the handcuff.
Well, it's
yeah,
all
and
but it's but
well,
it's,
I was going to say they're you could call it whoever.
House. Yeah, they're already in house though, so then you got to manage that cap now from what the assets that you have. Like, okay, so yeah, those are the anchors, but okay, so moving forward, what do you do? Like, we're at a position of strength with our forwards, with our youthful forwards, right?
Yeah,
like.
Isn't that the other concern, right? we keep having these issues where we're forward heavy. We don't have a good judge of defensive talent. And all signs are pointing to we're going to drop the Jacob Trouba ball. And that's going to be pretty easy because everybody, quote unquote, knows he doesn't want to be here. So that's going to be pretty easy for that to not play out the way we hope it does, because he's arguably our best player. But it's going to be easy for the club to trade him or get rid of him, and the fans aren't going to give a shit because of what happened last year.
And they've had the narrative going since.
That's right.
The requests.
Let him rot.
It's terrible.
Yeah, like I was trying to say this last night, and I think it makes sense. Jacob Trouba this year is going to be the best player at his position in the NHL that the Jets have, right?
Yes.
Like, absolutely. Mark Scheifele's like the fifth or sixth best center in the NHL, and Laine's the fifth or seventh best winger, blah, blah, blah. But Jacob Trouba is going to be the third or fourth best defenseman in the NHL. We have no better player at his position relative to other players than Jacob Trouba. And nobody other than the trolls give a shit if he stays or not. And that's
so dumb. That's so dumb.
The people that hate the team want to keep a player that's going to put the Jets in the best position to succeed.
Well, let's see. While we're on the topic of players and how they're being used, I'll just pull up, and apparently they're sticking with these training camp groups again today.
Oh, God.
The 2017 Winnipeg Jets training camp groups, Group 1 and Group 2. When you look over these groups, anything stand out that separates one group from the other?
Logan Stanley. No, I'm just kidding.
So Group 1 is basically an NHL roster.
It's 100% an NHL roster.
I mean, not every single player, let's say. Like, I know we're going to argue over some of the people in that group. But Group 1 is like your NHL roster, and Group 2 is your Moose and, getting dumped back down to ECHL and Junior, etc. roster. And so what's interesting is, like, we don't need to sit here and discuss, like, Byfuglien, Laine, Ehlers, Wheeler, Scheifele, Trouba, all those guys in Group 1. Obviously, your NHL roster is going to have those guys, but... I guess I will name... Should I start by naming guys on Group 1 that you want to comment on, or should I start naming guys on Group 2?
I think if I read the groups yesterday, there's only one person on Group 2 that we need to talk about, I think.
All right. So, well,
however you want to do it.
Let's go to Group 2 then and make this nice and quick. Marco Dano on Group 2. Yes.
Fucking joke.
Absolutely. What was he... I believe in all the fancy stats, but I don't study them and I don't know them. But isn't he something like the third or fourth best play driver of all of our forwards? Like, isn't he like absolutely statistically one of our best forwards?
I think it's just wingers. I think he's like the third or fourth best play driver on wing.
Like
Brandon Tanev. That's all I got to say.
Well, all right. Group one.
Yeah. Group one. Talk about Dano's grit, though.
Well, yeah. But he is gritty.
I know. That's the point.
That's the crazy thing. And that we've talked about it, and we'll talk about it every show, I think. The Brendan Lemieux, Chase DeLeo thing. You just have this mindset that Brendan Lemieux is the guy. Every time Chevy spoke this weekend at that camp, which was three different times I heard him, Roslovic, Connor, Lemieux. These are the guys we want to see. Chase DeLeo, we've all said it, twice the player, the exact role that Brendan Lemieux plays. Yep. And nobody cares. Ridiculous.
It's the name.
In Group 1. So we have Tucker Poolman making Group 1.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Can we talk about that Group 2, Group 1 thing? And Sammy Niku is in Group 2. But Poolman and Stanley are in Group 1.
That's fucking sick.
Well, Tucker Poolman is in Group 1. Also in Group 1, as you mentioned, Brandon Tanev in Group 1.
Awesome.
Matt Hendricks, if like not shocking, but just seeing his name there makes your blood boil, I'm sure. In group one. Nick Petan, though, in group one.
Yeah, that shocked me.
Like, we're all sad that he's not going to be on the big club, and there he is, practicing with the big club. So that's, you got to say, that's okay, right?
On the fifth line? Wasn't it the fifth line yesterday?
Yeah, who's he with? Who was on his line?
Are we going to roll five lines this year? Is that what's happening?
No, but look at those groupings, though.
Yeah.
Literally, they're like...
He was with a Kopp and Roslovic. It was a Kopp, Patan, Roslovic line.
Yeah, they were the fifth line.
So we also...
It was Lowry, Armia, and Connor.
Well, at least he was on with a top six forward, right?
Not anymore. Oh, yeah, Kopp, yeah.
Yeah, so we have Jack Roslovic also on the big club, and Kyle Connor with the first group, and Logan, MF, and Stanley.
That's hot.
Oh,
that's so hot.
I'm not going to read too much into that. I think that was just they wanted to have their first round picks there. I don't think he has an actual shot to make the team. But they've done dumb shit to surprise me before. So
no, you're right, Brian. They have him in the first group just so he can be out there with the pros for sure, and just to see what it's like and see what you got to do. Whatever, guaranteed. There's nothing secretive about that or expectation, but I was there yesterday, and that guy, if he wasn't 6'7", could have been any guy that I played beer league with or double A or any. It was absolutely embarrassing.
Well, he made Lowry look like Crosby in that puck battle.
Like, but the real important question, Chris, is did you get his autograph in a selfie?
No, I didn't. And I was even with my daughter, so it would have been okay.
Uh-huh.
But I did yell Free Patan at Nick Patan both times I saw him, and he did smile the first time. So
you should have been like, I'm that guy from that really mean thread last year.
I love you. I sent you Gwen.
They wrote an article about us.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he knows, so I didn't have to say it. Yeah.
You should put your tweet on a poster and go to camp again.
Yeah.
Remember hey, this? Nick, this was me.
Who's going to develop faster? You or Chris Thorburn? Remember that one?
Seeing as, I mean, we can keep the discussion up, but I'm going to jump into some Ask the Superfans because we're already like 47 minutes in. And some of these questions, I think, relate to stuff that we're talking about. We have Jimmy_Peg asking thoughts on the potential for future salary cap issues after the Little contract. And he says specifically, what does it mean for Wheeler's future?
That's exactly what I asked. So do they not commit to Wheeler? Because there's no way with everybody that's coming up that he's going to get any sort of substantive contract offer.
Do you think maybe some of it is that Brian Little is still kind of in that sweet spot. Wheeler is going to be 33 when his contract is over. So
yes,
the kind of contracts that you're talking about with the guy, like when you talk about the decline and the, you know, et cetera, maybe Wheeler is just, he's going to be out of that and it puts him in a different position.
If anybody can beat the decline, it's Wheeler.
Yeah, but the Jets have literally chosen Brian Little.
But what I'm
trying to say.
Okay, so two things on that. Blake Wheeler didn't even start really playing hockey till like NHL hockey till he was what, like 24. So he doesn't have as many miles as most guys his age. And if you would have seen the way they were talking about him on Friday night, Paul Maurice compared him or suggested he was much better of a leader than Matt Sundin and Ron Francis. I think we're all in agreement he's our best player. We all love him. That's pretty high praise, and that doesn't sound like somebody that's going somewhere.
So are we getting rid of some of our young guys then?
Well, I've been saying for a couple of years, I've been concerned since year one that Ehlers is going to be the odd man out in this somewhere.
And that, to me, disgusts me right now. Because you know what? We have a Brian Little that isn't you know what, that isn't Blake Wheeler that we've committed to for 6 years, right? And you had to know, and you had to think going into it that it was either, it was a choice between Brian Little or Blake Wheeler. And to me, it was no-brainer, right? That's why I asked earlier, what do you do with Blake Wheeler?
Is he up at the end of next year?
At the end of next year.
Yeah, next year.
Really, hey?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
That's fast.
I don't know.
And I think Arby said it really well, guys, when he said that back to the little thing, everyone laughed at the Andrew Ladd contract that he signed with the Islanders. It's basically the exact same contract that Little signed with us. One less year, one less $1 million, right? Is. And everyone would have just like, ha, 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 ha.
For the record, I laughed more at the contract that Chevy offered Ladd that he turned down.
Well, of course.
but literally, though, are the Jets telling us that they choose Brian Little? Or they've chosen
I don't think that he's looking at it that way. I'm sure that he cares about 2019, 2020, but I think that he cares more about 2017, 18. And
you sacrifice your future.
No, right? You don't necessarily sacrifice your future. You say, I'll have to fucking deal with that problem down the road.
Oh, fuck.
But
we're a draft and develop team.
They're, you know,
right.
When they came back, we're going to change the culture of this team and what blah blah blah. We've been steadily fed a draft. We're draft and develop. Be patient. This is what we're going to do, right? But now you put us in a position by signing somebody that came over from the Thrashers to a long term deal when you've got young guys in the waiting and considerations for the next two, three years with guys that are coming off of ELCs.
I will say this, because the Chevy and Pomo extensions, you know, kind of go contrary to what I'm thinking here, but you might have it somewhat like a situation, you see this in the NFL all the time, where the general manager and coaching staff go all in with a set of players, and they just look at it and say, well, fuck it, if it doesn't work out, we're going to be fired anyways, and it's going to be someone else's problem down the road. I think that Chevy looks at this and goes, this is the team, we're going to go with this team, and if it doesn't work out in 2 years, it'll probably be someone else's problem.
In 2 years? Yeah, you think they signed two-year extensions?
Yeah, but they may not keep him for 2 years. Again, haha, True North, what they do. I don't know. And again, unfortunately, the GM, I feel like, has the best job certainty of everyone, but I don't know.
So you're telling me that literally we've been spoon-fed this we're building for the future, we're drafting and developing, and they're gonna say fuck it 6 years in, that we're gonna think now that we've got these young guys that are going to be studs, that are studs already, like a Nick Ehlers, and we're gonna put signing them in jeopardy or having to get rid of them. We're gonna put that in play because we're gonna commit to Brian Little and whatever, or we're gonna get rid of Blake Wheeler in a year and a half.
They have also said the whole time, when it's time to win, we're gonna try and win. So you can look at that both ways. Is they're gonna try and keep them all, and yeah, at a certain point they're gonna have to make a compromise. And this is where, again, we hope that the loyalty thing, and again, how you can be more loyal to one guy that you've drafted as opposed to another guy, but you got to hope next summer or in 2 summers that the loyalty thing doesn't shape your decision, and you don't say, we're going to trade Nick Ehlers over Brian Little, or right? Like, so they have said they're going to try and win. You got to hope that the loyalty lies with continuing the draft and develop after this, because I think we would all agree this is a 2-year window to try and win a Stanley Cup right now.
Most of the NHL in the same position as the Jets are paying for future years instead of paying for past performance, right? Am I wrong with that? Most of the NHL are locking up their stud guys coming off of ELCs to long term deals.
Those are the guys that you're hedging your bets on, yeah.
Yeah, The way contracts are signed now in today's NHL isn't for past performance and isn't rewarding for past performance. We're paying with dollars in term for prime years, right? That's why this Brian Little thing fucking smacks me in the face as something totally counterproductive.
At NHL,
on the surface.
At NHL Jest, his name on Twitter is hashtag Rise Together. If Stu North doesn't make the Bruins, will he play in the Olympics or come back to the Moose? I don't give a fuck about either option.
Yeah, who the fuck cares?
He can do whatever he wants as long as he's not on the Jets. Katie Hamilton at Mint Vervian. Vervain? She's got to tell me how the fuck to say that. In your opinion, who should the Athletic Winnipeg hire as their Jets correspondent?
Just wear that. Arby.
Me.
Brian.
All right. Well, that's great. Also, how important is the use of statistical evidence to justify takes in sports journalism to you?
God, there's nothing, and we don't need to talk about his name. He doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Las Vegas. There's nothing more than that guy when he used to stand there talking about how important this is or how important that is, and with no justification to any numbers, anything that matters and anybody can find out, and not even just fancy stats or whatever. You have to have something backing up what you're saying. You can have an opinion about big things. Oh, I don't know if he should be the general manager, this and that, but don't go around talking about how players are and not justify it. You have to have backup for it.
Yeah, the gleam in their eye and the grit and sandpaper that they towed around with them. That's how you know, it's hard.
It's
the so lunch pail. It's the lunch pail they bring to work every day.
It's so coincidental how shitty hockey players are always the ones with grit and heart, right? It's never the really good ones.
I have a statistic.
The biggest statistic that matters the most is how much they love Winnipeg. That's
you can't measure that.
They measure it by how immeasurable the love for them
is. Here's a statistic for you. When it comes to fighting in hockey, I can tell you this. Of every hockey fight that's happened in the last few years, 50% of the guys in that fight's team have won the game and 50% have lost.
Perfect.
Very good.
So fighting is important. Perfect. And changes the tide of the game. If you coached, this is Tony _ MBHKY. If you coached the Jets, he says, what's your top nine? So who's in your top nine? Tanev.
Adam Lowry.
Kopp.
Mason Appleton.
All right, so the top part of this is easy, right? Little, Wheeler, Scheifele,
top six is the top six.
Liney, Perreault. Who's the other one? Ehlers. So who's seven through nine?
I don't think Perreault's in the top six.
Okay.
I mean, he's one of our six best forwards, but I don't think if you're separating your lineup properly that he's in your top six. I think I said it last time, so I'll do what I think would be. I'd like love to see Connor with Scheifele and Wheeler. I'd like to see Ehlers, Little, and Laine or something like that. And then Perreault with Patan, Dano, some sort of that sort of combination. Even if maybe even Armia.
Whose house is having a fun time right now, by the way?
Who do you think
it's gotta be yours? There are like 700 people.
I've got a full house. Okay. Like my daughter that wants to get to dance, but anyways.
Well, why don't you take her to dance? Stop talking to the assholes on fucking Skype.
Okay. Fuck off, assholes.
Take your daughter to dance. Is she dancing with what was it? Where Arby's going? Well, not Arby's not dancing.
No, they're our rival dance studio. Marquee is our rival dance studio. So you guys I'm gonna get a take off because my daughter's head's gonna explode right now. So
all right, bye, buddy.
Bye.
Bryce T _22. Are we going to get into a trap of our team having so much skill it will make our shit coach look good even though he's useless? I say no because he won't use him properly.
I'm kind of both ways.
Yeah.
I kind of think they're going to make the playoffs despite him, but that being said, not if our fourth line has those same three or four players that we keep talking about. So they're not going to make the playoffs if their fourth line is any combination that resembles Hendricks, Tanev, Kopp, Dano, Patan. None of that. There's no hope. So it could go both ways for me.
Katie Hamilton also corrected things. Again, Mint Vervain on Twitter. Stewart actually has a PTO with the Hawks, so don't put the evil on the Bruins. Yeah. Graham Smith 15 asks, based on first day line combos, is Maurice finally ready to play Liney and Ehlers on their off wings, or is he just teasing us?
No idea. I didn't even realize they were playing on their off wings.
Well, what kind of journalist are you?
One who I've been busy with my other jobs.
All right, you go. How is the high school football team doing? Would you like to give us an update?
I just cover random teams and not one specific.
Who's the best team in your area?
At this point, I don't even know. Nobody's really that good.
Which high school throws the best after parties after the game is over?
One that they all the high schools, nobody invited me.
That's,
for some reason.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
At Alistair Mowat asks, I heard Pomo mention a fourth line of PK specialists. Who plays on Hendrix's wings, and how terrible will it be?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I already made my point about the penalty killing. I'll tell you who your penalty killer should be, and I don't know anything about hockey. And Lowry, Armia, Little, and Perreault should be your penalty killers. And your third line, as we've talked about ad nauseum, should be Adam Lowry, Armia, Kopp, and Matthias. Those four guys, however, combo of them. It's ridiculous.
And then we have at Riker Balzer, a Danny Brown fan account. How bad of a record would it take to get Maurice canned even after signing that undeserved extension?
Probably 0-82.
Like next season. After going 0-82 this season as well.
Oh, yeah, next season. Yeah. It'd have to be 2 years of winless to get him fired.
I think that if by the end of November they're in a position where you can't even kind of bullshit yourselves that you're in a playoff race, he would be gone. I think that if they're, you know, in that, let's say that 11-9 range in the conference, and you know, you can kind of fool yourselves because you're like, well, we're only 4 points out and stuff like that, like they did for a lot of last season. I think they keep him around, but I think that if they're, you know, if they're looking out of the playoffs, let's say, you know, 7 or more points as we're heading to the end of November, it could be that soon. That's my guess.
I think even then they'll try to bullshit it and be like, oh, we're only 7 points out.
You should have heard them all weekend. Nashville made the Stanley Cup final with 41 wins. We had 40.
That's fucking garbage.
Okay.
How many losses did they have?
How many losses did they have, and who made the playoffs and who didn't, and who won 7 games after they had been eliminated like they do every year? Because, well, you could make an argument that they're a country club team, but like, really? That's what you're going to feed your fans, and they're just going to eat it? There's only one win difference between us and the Predators, guys. That's it.
It's ridiculous. That's
but aren't they the ones that also say stats don't tell the whole story? And then they say, oh yeah, the Predators only had one more win with no context.
No, stats don't tell the whole story. Only the meaningless ones tell the whole story.
Okay. All right. That.
Only things that aren't even really stats.
Exactly. All right, well, on that note, I think that's where we end things. So for folks out there who want to get their questions and takes into us, our handle is @AIHSuperfans. Use the hashtag RiseTogether. No, that's not it.
Well, you can use the other rise together. Like, let's drink some rise together.
It's hashtag
courtesy Hank Wood.
Hashtag ask the super fans to get your questions in. And I expect that we will be back again. It's been only 2 weeks since our last episode. So the most frequently we've returned since July. And again, I think that we'll probably be going back to weekly. Maybe we'll go next week. We'll see what happens this week. But certainly it's picking up steam. So good news. Another thing, by the way, if anyone's interested in coming on, usually what happens is we assemble our roster very quickly before. Not everybody can make it. Then we put the word out and no one has time or is able to. If in advance you're interested in joining us on the show, let us know as well. Again, AIH Superfans is the handle. But don't just think because you ask we're going to have you on, because like we have a test to see how big a jerk you are. And if you don't pass it, sorry.
If you haven't already passed the jerk test.
Yeah, and if you're all positive and stuff, forget it. Like, this isn't a show about positivity.
You have to be blocked by at least six people on a specific list.
A specific unnamed list.
Yeah.
So I guess until that time, we will sign off for this week. Unless you guys got to get something in.
Go Jets, go.
All right, my name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
I'm Chris, or you can find me at CMAC Live on Twitter.
I'm Brian. You can find me on twitter.com at Brian from AIH.
I'm Big Pappy Peg City on Twitter, and Slip is my hero and the best guy ever.
Hey, thanks, Pappy. So again, at AIH.
It sounded exactly like him.
I know, right?
Perfect.
At AIH Superfans on Twitter, and go to iTunes and give us a rating. Hopefully a 5 stars, but we understand if you go lower than that. But you may as well do that as well. So there you go. Thanks. And Pappy will let you sign off. Okay, everybody. Go Jets, go. I love you, Chevy. Woo!